Welcome to it, everybody. It is another edition of the Sunday Night's Main Event Roundtable. It's kind of like Wrestling Roundtable Weekly, or at least that is the intention of what we're doing here on the show. This is the third one we've done, and this one is a slam wrestling panel. Now, if you live in Canada and you have followed professional wrestling for any amount of time, you have heard slam wrestling because they are on top of all the news and they got a lot of great reports and a lot of great written content. But let's bring these slam reporters off the page and into the world of audio. I mean, I guess I owe it to this guy to introduce him first, because I believe he's probably been with Slam since day one. You've heard him on Sunday Night's Main Event before, but he is, of course, Bob Kapoor. Hello, Bob.
Jason, always good to see you again. Well, I like to hear you more than I like to see you.
Okay, get out of here. Are you going to be upset, Bob, today that we're primarily talking about WWE and you know, there's not that much Impact chat?
No, that's fine.
Okay, great.
Yeah, happy to talk about anything.
Bob is a big Impact supporter. I'm sure it'll come up there, Bob. Also on the panel today, though, two other lovely individuals from Slam Wrestling. She also works in the world of radio, as do I. Alex Robertson joins us. Nice to virtually meet you, Alex.
Nice to virtually meet you too, Jason.
And finally, we have a gentleman that all of professional wrestling is wishing that he and everyone of his demographic will watch their product. Happy to welcome to the show, Matthew McFarlane. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Happy to be here, Jason.
Matthew, I'm going to start there. How did you, because we spend so much time talking about the fact that we all got into wrestling when we were younger. What drew you in? Like, what era drew you in? And also, how old are you?
I am 16. I'm a junior in high school right now.
So what drew you in? When did you start watching and what brought you in?
I'd like to say I've been watching my whole life. It's my dad who, you know, really introduced it to me. So that means, you know, 16, I started in the middle of the Ruthless Aggression era, I'd say.
Okay.
But yeah, I just never stopped watching. It's kind of hard to get away from when you start at this age, at least for me. So yeah.
Well, listen, there is a phrase that we often use that wrestling is like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. So you're in it, and you're in it forever, Matthew. I'm sorry. You've made some bad choices. Alex, we all know about Bob, and we're going to get to Bob in a sec. But, you know, you work in the world of radio, so, but this seems to be a side passion for you as well, working with Slam. What era did you come into it, and what made you dive into the weird world of professional wrestling?
So I actually got into wrestling right before I turned 20. So I didn't actually watch it as a kid. Although my mom used to watch it when she was my age, when she was in her 20s, and she would talk about it all the time. And I'm like, why would you watch wrestling? Like, what is wrong with you? And she used to drag my dad to events. And it was only when I turned 20, I started watching the reality show Total Divas. And I thought, well, what is this? So I started watching it. And it was a marathon that was on TV. And for some reason, I was just in love with the show and in love with all of these characters. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to watch Monday Night Raw. So it just so happened that the next time I tuned into Monday Night Raw, the Bella Twins were having a match in one of the main events. And I thought, these are the women that I'm seeing in the reality show. And that's how I started watching it. And I slowly started to follow the storylines and I fell in love with it ever since.
That is mind-blowing. I can't believe that does actually work. And you are a conversion from the world of E! Over to WWE. Well, maybe WWE does know what they're doing with Total Divas. And are you happy the Bellas are on their way back? Is that something you're looking forward to?
I mean, I was happy to see them at WrestleMania this year. I was thrilled to see that they were going to be part of the Hall of Fame class for 2020 and the fact that they had a little appearance on the card this weekend. So I was definitely glad to see them being appreciated for the time that they wrestled, right?
My goodness, we are going to have such different opinions on this panel. All right, let's kick things off here. You know, what we were going to do on this panel as of about 6 hours ago was talk about the fallout of WrestleMania, what we thought of the week, and that's where we were going to begin. But let's face it, we cannot do that because WWE decided to do a house cleaning earlier today. In a statement posted on WWE.com, talent released are Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Mickey James, Chelsea Green, Tucker, Kalisto, Bo Dallas, and Wesley Blake. Well, let's start with you, Bob. Personally, I mean, I've been following it for a long time, and we've seen the purge over and over. Yep. I got to say, though, not only am I surprised that this happened, I'm shocked at least one of these names.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny because WWE just had their quarterly conference call. They talked about record profits, and they're claiming that all these are being done for cost-cutting measures. And it just sounds, it's just, you know, read the room, WWE. I get from a shareholder perspective, it might make sense, but the optics of this are terrible. Just to let anyone go at this time, you know. But Samoa Joe, I'd say certainly the most surprising named on that list. Hard to believe they've squandered what they could have done with him. Even in a non-wrestling capacity, I thought he was doing a fantastic job as commentary.
I don't think that there's anyone out there that didn't. I mean, I have never heard, oh, you know what, Samoa Joe on Raw? Mm-mm, no thank you, don't want to hear his voice. To me, he was always a shining light in everything he did. He literally read a fairy tale to AJ Styles a couple years ago, and I absolutely adored the segment. This man is so incredibly talented. I can't believe he is gone. Matt, when you saw this list, Joe had to be a surprise. Who else?
I would say, you know, Peyton Royce, I felt like they had some high hopes for her in WWE. Billy Kay as well. You know, I don't understand. I think, Alex, you would agree why they would break up the Iconics. They had a lot of potential there, especially since trying to build up a women's tag division in WWE. They could have had a good championship run if they wanted over there. So it's tough to see them go, I guess. It's surprising as well.
Matt makes a good point there. I mean, Alex, yeah, let's throw it to you. I mean, you just talked about the Bellas. The Iconics were a great team. They were a good act together. They broke them up with zero plan thereafter. Now, I did think Billie Kay managed to gain a little bit of steam. She's a very funny lady. Peyton got lost in the shuffle. And listen, I don't know if that has to do with who she happens to be married to and a little bit of vengefulness there. But I'm honestly surprised, considering her look, that she was released here, because naturally she's going to go and hang out with her husband and perhaps end up on someone else's television.
I mean, yeah, if you talk about the Iconics, both of them together, I thought when they broke them up, it didn't make any sense at all. Matt was just talking about the women's tag team division. What tag team division? Mm-hmm. If you look at all of the so-called tag teams that are currently still there, other than the current title holders being Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, the only true tag team that I really see is the Riot Squad. Everyone else is thrown together just to say, oh, we're gonna try and have a tag team match. Like, it didn't make any sense at all. So the fact that they broke them up to, I guess, have them go off and do their own singles thing, sure. I mean, I know that sometimes that works, but I think in this instance, it was a big mistake. And I think the fact that they released them, what that says to me is that, okay, we broke them up. We tried to give them a singles run and it didn't work. So basically it's our fault for why this happened. As to what's going to happen to them next, I tend to think that there is a possibility of Peyton Royce going to AEW. And if that were the case, I think she should go with Billie Kay. Although I think another potential idea that they could do is they could go over to Impact, because Impact just started their women's tag team division up again, and they seem to be gaining a little bit of steam. So I'm hoping that might be an option too.
Well, Bob, we joked at the fact that we wouldn't be talking about Impact, but it has already come up. And I think part of that is because, you know, you have all these performers here and not everyone can go to AEW. AEW has to be extremely careful with how many previous WWE talents they welcome into the fold. And they've just bringing in Big Show recently. You know, a lot of people question that. So, and Christian Cage popping up on their television as well. Some people questioning that. So, you know, you're beginning to get a sense of what Impact did do years ago. And I think that AEW has to be careful with that. When you look at this roster that has been released here, not roster, but these releases, Bob, who do you see being the peak performers that might be picked out by Impact, or those that might be headed to, or in some cases like Chelsea Green, back to Impact?
Yeah. So, you know, I think Alex said it great. The Iconics, or whatever, you know, build, whatever they would be called, I think would make a natural fit, because the promos that they could cut against Fire and Flava, who are the current Knockouts champions, champions, would just be hilarious. And in the ring, I think that those teams could really deliver something well. I'm really disappointed that they cut Peyton Royce. You know, after that emotional speech she gave, or that promo she cut on, it was a Raw Talk or Talking Smack, one of the two, they had potential gold there, and they spun that right in the lead. It was
don't you think though, Bob, don't you think that, because you mentioned their in-ring is going to be good as well, and I think that that's the challenge, that in particular Billy is horrendous, but even Peyton in the ring, there's a huge challenge with her in the ring. She's never really come around, and I can't say she's improved since her time in NXT. It might have been a regression, actually.
Well, I think the regression was partially in the way they were booked, partially in the difference between NXT-style matches and WWE, you know, main roster-style matches. They're just presented differently. But I thought that they were, you know, worked well as a team. And in terms of being a team, they were, you know, other than the Riot Squad, the best thing going. Rather than just a random assignment of two single stars together, which, you know, I think worked fine for Bayley and Sasha Banks under the circumstances, because over the pandemic, I think those were the types of characters you needed to bridge the two TVs, but Nia and Shayna just not doing it.
Matt, am I the only person that is now not only shocked with the release, but shocked that Bo Dallas was never paired with his brother in some sort of role?
You could be right. A lot of speculation about Bo Dallas and his brother. I also saw that some people thought that Bo Dallas was actually the Fiend at WrestleMania, which is you know, kind of crazy to think about. I don't think it's true. But anyhow, it could have been a good pairing for Bo at least. They didn't do much of anything with him. You would, I guess, this is expected that Bo would be released sooner rather than later.
And Alex, you know, you talked about the fact that they broke up the Iconics and they didn't know what to do. I think that that is even more so the case with poor Tucker, or for that matter, yeah, like Tucker being pulled away from Otis and just having no plan whatsoever, switching brands, and now we're just going to run after R-Truth.
Yeah, I don't really understand that one either. But again, it's the same type of thing. Both of them, Otis and Tucker, both came up from NXT, and it clearly, whatever they were doing in NXT was working, which is why they shifted them up to the main roster. So I was disappointed that they didn't really do much with them. I mean, the biggest thing that I can remember them doing with them was WrestleMania last year, when they were in a storyline with The Miz and Mandy and Sonya Deville. But again, that was more so about Otis than it was about Tucker. So even when they brought them up onto the main roster, it was never really about Tucker. And I can't remember within the last year, unless anybody else can, a true storyline that involved the both of them. So I think they kind of just faded him off a little bit and kind of put the focus more on Otis. But I mean, that wasn't the biggest name to surprise me on the list, but I definitely was kind of shocked that they didn't keep him around to maybe put them back together.
You know, I'd actually say the biggest surprise, I think we can all agree, is Samoa Joe, and we talked about that already. But I think the most helpful person that really has potential here is Mickey James. I've been a huge Mickey fan forever and a day. I loved her in the stalker angle from Trish Stratus and right on through the crazy country singer in Impact. Bob, though, I don't think that she's headed back to Impact. I think that this is a person of huge value to AEW, because that women's division needs a lot of help. And Mickey can play the player coach role there.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. She would be so much better helping build up that division, not just in terms of bringing name recognition, but in bringing just the coaching and the experience that the women there just need. I mean, you can see it in their matches. They need someone who's a veteran to lead them. And I think that Chelsea Green, frankly, I would, as much as I think she could very well return to Impact, I'd rather see her in AEW, because I think she has the versatility that you can put her almost with any faction and she would fit. You can put her as a singles wrestler in that women's division and she would fit, and she would elevate, I think, a lot of the roster up to her level, or at least try. I think those two of all of the choices, I think, would be perfect for AEW over Impact.
All right, guys. Well, we've covered the releases pretty extensively there. Let's take a look back about the week that we did just go through. I mean, there was a bit of a breath on Monday once we got through the buildup and actually watching WrestleMania. Alex, was there a breath for you? Were you fatigued thereafter, or did you just finish on Sunday night and go, all right, so the clock is ticking and Raw is coming up?
Oh, my brain was completely done by the time the part two of WrestleMania was over. Having to watch all of last week stand and deliver from NXT, having to watch both of the WrestleMania shows, and then, you know, having to do another podcast on top of that. It was all of this buildup and we were all excited. So this week I was kind of looking forward to, yes, a breath, but also the introduction of potential new storylines on all of the brands. Now, that's usually what happens, or it's what's supposed to happen. We haven't seen SmackDown yet, obviously, because that's airing on Friday. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when it came to Monday Night Raw, was I surprised by anything? Was I intrigued by anything? Not necessarily.
No, and Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania for a while was the crazy show, arguably bigger than Mania due to the debuts and surprises. This year, we got absolutely nothing. I'm talking nothing. It's normally a season finale and a season premiere, and it just felt like the credits this particular season. Matt, before we get into talking about Raw and the disappointments that we had, the two-day format, did that work well for you, or are you looking forward to next year going back to the one big night?
No, I'm looking forward to the one big night. I think it was exciting for WrestleMania night one, but already by night two, I think the excitement level dropped already for me, just because you saw the crowd, you saw the big stadium already. Also, I think that for both nights, they kind of had to, stuff the cards a little bit. They added a couple of filler matches. I think it's not really apt for WrestleMania, which is supposed to be, the grandest stage of them all and whatnot.
I'd argue that they didn't have to add those filler matches, because you could have thrown the WrestleMania Battle Royal, the Andre the Giant thing, on one night and then had Rey Mysterio and his son win the tag team championships in a gloryful moment on night two. But maybe that's just me, Bob. Maybe that's just me wanting to see Rey Mysterio and his son have a wonderful moment.
Well, I think they certainly should have been on the show.
Yeah, they weren't even on it.
Yeah, like win the match or not, be on a match. I like the two-day format. If you would have taken, there were seven matches per night, I think 14 total. Even if you had taken out some of the chaff and left it maybe 11 matches, that's still a long night of wrestling. Yeah. And I think it's diminishing returns. So as you go forward, the main event of a seven match card don't have to kill themselves as much as the main event guys on a 13 or 12 match card, right? I would hate to have been in the Roman Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan if they had to do a match after 5 or 6 hours, because we've seen that in the past where the show was 5 hours long and it was just too much.
Yeah, ultimately, I think we are getting it again. Hey, I wanted to throw this out there. WrestleMania, both nights, we had to watch Titus stand beside Hulk Hogan, which is questionable in itself. And night two, they added the additional bonus of putting them in pirate costumes. Not sure if that was a rib. But Alex, does Hulk Hogan have any value left?
I mean, the way that I see it is he has value in terms of legend status, but to have him host a WrestleMania alongside Titus O'Neil, I just thought the pairing itself didn't make any sense. Never mind the whole pirate costume thing. I did not understand that one bit. I thought they looked ridiculous. But in terms of Hulk Hogan himself, I don't think he adds any wow factor anymore to a WrestleMania card. He was great. He is great. And we will always remember what he did in the ring and outside of the ring. But I don't think he needs to be added to a big show like that to draw people in.
Matt, you're 16. Does Hulk Hogan mean a thing? I mean, Bob and I would have grown up with him, and sure, we remember him, and unfortunately, he's big time fall from grace. Does he mean anything to someone your age watching this, or it's just like, move over, both you and Titus get off the stage?
Yeah, I never grew up with, Hulkamania. I was part of the TNA Hulk Hogan, and we don't have to delve into that. But
well, so is Bob.
I always knew he was a huge star. He's one of the probably the biggest name in wrestling ever, maybe. We have so many other names that you could throw in there, like a Steve Austin, who's you could still pop a crowd with. Hulk Hogan, I think we've seen him do the return, and then the nostalgia act, and it's too much already. It's we've seen it already.
Diminishing returns. I couldn't agree more. All right, Bob, let's talk about this week and what we're watching this week. Every night there's wrestling on. There's Raw, followed by NXT, followed by AEW, followed by Impact, followed by SmackDown. It's bananas. But one of the things that does bring about is NXT and AEW now on different nights. Good or bad?
I think it's, I think it's good from someone who watched them both and was flipping back and forth, because I don't like to miss wrestling. Whether I like it or not, I still like to watch it. Sometimes it's more fun to watch it and not like it and just go online and harp about it. But so I think it's good. I think that, I don't know that it's going to improve the ratings of either product significantly. I mean, I think we saw the bump in the NXT ratings this past Tuesday. But I think that's a natural bump following a WrestleMania weekend and a takeover weekend. We'll see what happens in 2-3 weeks, whether or not it makes a major difference. I don't think it's going to draw any new eyes onto the product at all, though. I think the people who are watching NXT and who are watching AEW, and there was probably 100,000 people, maybe 200,000, who are like me switching back and forth. I don't know that you're going to see ratings explode on either show. So from that standpoint, it's kind of a moot change, other than a little bit more convenient for regular viewers. I don't think it's going to draw new eyes on the product for either.
I don't know about new eyes, but I do think that you're going to see increased ratings on both night, because obviously you don't have part of the fan base going over. AEW's demographic will slide a little bit older, and you will then have the opposite happen for NXT with some of those NXT fans, AEW fans that are younger, checking out NXT. Yeah, however,
I don't think it's going to make either product better.
Yes, that was my next point I was going to throw to Alex, because one of the things that we saw in the real, that we always talk about the Attitude Era, we always talk about the Monday Night War, and listen, there were things that were done on both AEW and NXT that were only done because there was direct competition, and as Bob said, I too don't think this will necessarily make these shows better. Alex?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily going to make the shows better either. I would agree that the demographics are definitely going to switch. Although when all this happened, when AEW first came on the airwaves, everyone was saying, oh, it's some kind of Wednesday night war. It never really was, in my opinion. I never really saw it as a Wednesday night war. I mean, I watched both shows this week. Obviously, as most of us have pointed out, the NXT show is coming off of this high from their big pay-per-view from last week. So obviously their show is going to get more ratings. And I did find it a better show because there was more excitement around it. With AEW, I think it's just kind of the same thing from what we've been seeing. The episode that I watched this week is nothing really any different from what we've been watching. So I don't necessarily think it's going to make the product better. It's just going to make all of us journalists have to watch wrestling as a second full-time job.
Oh boy. I journalist in the very, that's don't use that word. Don't throw it around. That means I need to have a shred of credibility. I want to throw this at you, Matt. AEW this week, they did try a stunt. They tried to hit the ground running and grab as many viewers as possible. And I think that they were thinking about an older demographic because they threw Mike Tyson on there. It's similar to the Hogan questions. So here's, you know, you have AEW using Tyson and using Shaq. You have WWE using Bad Bunny and Logan Paul. Definitely going for a younger demographic. As someone in that younger demographic, but also someone who knows about the history of pro wrestling, which were you more attracted to?
For me, I'm only 16. I don't really care that much about Mike Tyson, to be honest with you. So it wasn't that much of an appeal. I am 16, so that means I am, familiar with Logan Paul. I, of course, know who Bad Bunny is. And the fact that Bad Bunny was actually wrestling a match at WrestleMania itself was a big appeal to me. He did great, by the way. And Logan Paul and Bad Bunny are two of the biggest stars in their own, Logan Paul does YouTube, Bad Bunny, a rapper, biggest stars in their own profession. It was more appealing to me, the WWE side than it was the AEW.
Yeah, you know, you try to explain that. I co-hosted this really old curmudgeon guy, and I tried to explain that to him, and he really didn't get it. I'm not even talking about Bob this time. All right, Drew McIntyre, let's go back to WWE and wrap things up with this final question. Drew McIntyre, you know, Alex, you brought up the whole refresh that we were supposed to get. Well, nope, we're just going to get a rematch, not a refresh. Backlash this year is actually called WrestleMania Backlash. So at least they're not trying to throw something else at us and make us feel like it's something new. It's going to be a lot of rematches. Drew set for a rematch with Lashley, though. Should this title be switched? And I will also throw out there, and I don't know if the three of you know, Drew also has a book coming out and is about to do a promo tour with the book. I'm not sure if that factors in. I'd like to see, or if you figure WWE would like to see the title on his shoulder for that promo tour, but what do you think? Is it flipped here, or is Lashley now their guy?
Well, I think, I mean, when I heard about this main event match that they were going to have on Raw, so it was either going to be Randy Orton, it was going to be Drew McIntyre, or it was going to be Braun Strowman. I was really hoping it wasn't going to be Randy Orton because he's already been a champion what seems to be a million times. So I didn't really think he would necessarily deserve the shot. It did cross my mind, however, that, you know, Drew is coming out with this book. So I thought, yeah, that's good press. It's good press if he wins. Although I'm also partial to Drew because he has always been a favorite of mine. So I was kind of hoping that he was going to win. I think there might be a title swap there. I really do. And it's not to say that Bobby Lashley has not been a good champion so far. I think he has. And I think he's done great and can do great things. I just think it was taken from Drew a little sooner than I would have liked. So I think with everything considered, I think there's going to be some type of title swap.
Matt, what I think was sad is that, you know, I think a lot of us watching have seen Drew McIntyre be in WWE and then go to Impact and work the indies and then come back and be successful. And it's actually a similar story to Bobby Lashley. But last year when he won in front of no one. I was sure. I could say I was sure. I was betting that Drew was going to get that WrestleMania win in front of a crowd, and he didn't. To give it to him now, what does this mean?
Yeah, I don't know about that. If they were going to give the title back to Drew, I would think that, you know, the big WrestleMania win, the WrestleMania pop would have been the place to do it. And I feel like a lot of people were expecting that to happen. And for them to not, make that decision, I feel like maybe it is Bobby Lashley who is going to be the guy on Raw going forward and not Drew McIntyre.
All right. Well, that means we have a 1-1 tie right now. I'm impartial. I'm just the moderator. So as sad as it is, it's going to come down to Bob Kapoor here for his final opinion. Bob, is the swap happening at WrestleMania Backlash?
WrestleMania Rehash, you mean?
Yeah. Well done. Yes.
So what I would like to see is Bobby Lashley beat Drew and have a way that Drew McIntyre is written off of TV for a while, let him do his book tour, come back, and then when there's crowds again, then win the title back. Because I think Bobby Lashley needs a run with the title to, number one, keep him looking strong, keep him elevated, elevate the title, and then give Drew, you know, that the chase program. A 1 month or a 3 week or how many, you know, whatever it is, turnaround between losing at Mania and getting this rematch. I don't think it's enough. I'd rather see him come back from some adversity, true adversity, and really get a revenge story and win it that way. I think that's a much more powerful story.
Maybe SummerSlam. Maybe we see fans at SummerSlam and there's something there. All right. Well, listen, Alex, Bob, and Matt, thank you all for joining me today. If you've now heard their voices and you can see their words on the screen at slamwrestling.net. That is where these three individuals do all of their fine work. Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Jason, thanks for having us.
Thank you.